everyone, both those of you here in the worship center and those of you joining us online, as we are in the second week of a four-week message series titled Stages. Stages. So in this series, we're trying to more clearly define the stages of what it means to follow Jesus. Many of us have heard the call to follow him, and we want to understand more fully what that means. So we're talking about stages. And we recognize, you know, that in all of life, there are stages of growth. The fact is, we're all on a journey growing up. It begins at birth. It continues throughout our lives. We're born into the world. That's the beginning of the journey. So there's a picture of me and my dad when I was a little baby. And then, you know, we begin the process after we're born of growing up. And there I am, a little older, holding up a birthday cake, I guess. So all the while we're growing up, God, what's God doing? God is trying to reach us. He is trying in his love and mercy and grace to woo us, to help us to understand who he is and what he wants to do in our life. Our gospel message is straightforward. We read it in John 3:16. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." And so when we hear that good news, amen, and when we place our faith and our trust in him, what happens? The Bible says we are born again. It says we experience this new life and we become a new creation. It also says that the love of God from on high comes and it is shed abroad in our hearts. And then a lifelong spiritual adventure has begun. Amen? Amen. And in the same way that we grow, you know, physically from infancy to maturity as young babies and then toddlers and eventually adolescents. And there, before you know it, there we are, an adult. In the same way that God has designed us for that, he has also designed us for spiritual growth as well. We are wired for physical growth. We're wired for spiritual growth as well. And he has placed resources for us. One of the primary resources that he places us in is the body of Christ. And he connects us with each other, with other believers, to help us and be encouraged along the way in our spiritual growth. And what's our common purpose? Do we have a common purpose that, you know, binds us all together? Well, our mission here at Christ Church, in fact, for the whole denomination, is this: making what? Disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. That's what we're about. That's where all of our energy is focused. You know, businesses, they focus on what? Making a profit. Making a profit. And schools are focused on educating students. And government is focused on providing needed services. But the church which Christ founded is focused on making what? Disciples. Fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. So how do we do it? And is there a common way that we understand that it's done? Well, at Christ Church, we talk about our discipleship pathway using three simple words: know, love, serve. If you've gotten a t-shirt from us recently, you probably have that on there. Know, love, serve. And that's a three-word description of what our process is. And so, you know, how does that happen? Well, first of all, we come to know God. We come to know Christ. We come to know the good news. And that usually is, you know, something that happens in our head. And then we, as the Spirit moves within us, we grow in our love for God and in our love for others. And that is something that happens, you know, in our heart. All of a sudden, God's love is stirring in our heart. And finally what happens is we say, you know what? I come to know. I've come to love God. Now I need to go serve. And I need to go serve God. I need to go serve others. I need to do what I can do for Christ and his purpose in the world. So know is kind of a head thing. Love is a heart thing, and serve is a hand thing, isn't it? We're getting out there. I want to see, Lord, how I can be practically helpful with you. So last week, we began looking at four stages of spiritual growth. And we heard about the Reveal spiritual life survey that was done a few years ago. Some 2,000 churches now have gone through it, and some 500,000 people have taken the Reveal spiritual life survey. And that data has been gathered to kind of help us to understand four distinct stages of spiritual growth. And so last week we learned about you who are exploring. You who are exploring, people who are exploring, and people who are exploring make up about 10% in the average church. And what else do we know about those who are exploring? They are investigating the Christian faith, and they come with questions, and they're wrestling with, you know, what does it mean to believe in Christ, to follow Jesus? They're wrestling with that. Here's what we also know. They are attending, but they are not yet ready to invest in the larger church. They want to be here attending, but not really much beyond that. Well, what do we want to say about all that? Hey, we want to welcome explorers as they come our way. We are thrilled that they are here, and we want to encourage you as an explorer to keep coming, to keep growing, to keep seeking, and let us help you along the way. What did we talk about we can do? Well, the first thing we can do is be very welcoming and very warm, and I hope that we're doing that and working at that regularly. We can also listen and be very intentional to listen, to understand where people are coming from. Many times people show up today as a first-time guest, and they've shown up because I have a need in my life. Something's going on. And I have a need. And what is that? We need to be hearing. We need to have open ears. And finally, we can encourage and we can pray. We can help those explorers understand that that's all right. This is a good place to be, and we want to help. So, explorers, we finally want to say, keep coming back. Keep coming back. Today, I want to talk about those of you who are growing. People who are growing. That's the next stage. I meant to have a blank for that, so put that on your outline somewhere. Just write down growing. That's the next stage. People who are growing have crossed the line of faith, and you have decided, I do believe. You've decided to place faith in Christ, to trust Him as your Savior, and to declare Him as Lord. And so for some of you, that was a dramatic experience. You have a definite memory. You remember a time or a place. Maybe it was at church, or maybe it was at a camp, or perhaps there was a special meeting or a revival of some sort, and you remember that place or that time. For others of you, you know that, hey, I made a decision, but I can't point to one particular event or happening. It was a process, but at some point you realized I crossed the line of faith. That's kind of how it happened for me, kind of the second way rather than the first. I remember one summer, I was really, for the first time, trying to think through, you know, what am I going to do with my life? I began to ask big God questions. And what does God have to do with this life? And how can I have Him help me and lead me and guide me? And there were some people in my life at that time. My parents had been talking to me about their experience with God. And I had a girlfriend at that time who was telling me about her experience with God. She was asking me questions about my own, and I realized I don't have the answers to these questions. And so for the first time, I said, I'm going to open the Scripture. I'm going to try to read it and really understand more of what it is saying to me. And I opened the Gospels, and I began to read the stories about Jesus. And, you know, I realized I've heard these stories before. I remember that one, but for the first time, the dots all began to get connected. And by the end of that summer, I realized I have crossed the line of faith. I have decided I want to know more about this Jesus. I've heard about Him all my life, but man, there is more here than I've ever known. Well, that is what happens when we have crossed the line of faith, when we've become a grower. What do we know about you who are growing in Christ? Well, a few things that this survey data tells us. First of all, you represent the largest group on the spiritual continuum, 38% in the average church. You are the group that's newest in faith, and you bring a lot of enthusiasm and excitement with you. You have entered into this new experience with God, and there is a freshness and an exuberance about you. Another thing, you're the most active participants in virtually all church activities. You have an excitement, you have a passion about your new life in Christ, and you're very interested to grow in your understanding and experience. And because you represent the largest group in the average congregation, you represent the largest group of potential volunteers. And there are significant things that you're thinking through, intellectual and emotional adjustments that you're making in your life because of your newfound faith, and you demonstrate an adolescent-like boldness as well as insecurity. So at times you're bold and other times you're not so sure. You're fired up, but sometimes you're not sure about what God wants you to do. So I can remember at times in my ministry, you know, somebody has shown up in my office and they've said, "Pastor, you know, I'm wondering, I've been thinking about something. I've had this new faith in God and God's doing this new thing. I'm so excited about it. And I really just think I need to quit my job. And I just think maybe God is sending me to the mission field or He is sending me into ministry. What do you think, Pastor? Should I do that?" And I've had to say, "Well, I mean, let's sit down and talk for a little bit, all right? And let's, first of all, let's not quit your job just yet. Let's not quit it yet. Let's maybe go through a process of talking." And often I have to say, you know, there are all kinds of ways that we can respond to God's moving in our life. And yes, I mean, ministry, what it means to be in ministry, there's a broad spectrum of what that means as well. I mean, there are all kinds of things that everyday people do that are ministry out in the world that are just unbelievable. And yes, there is this call to set apart ministry, to ordain ministry, but there are all kinds of things that can be done independent of that. I also often say to them, you know, don't quit your job, but let's give this some time. You know, over time, if God is calling you, He will confirm that. He will continue to confirm that. You will have a sense that, yes, I'm getting more clarity about what this means, and maybe it does mean, you know, taking some steps related to my vocation. Or maybe it doesn't mean that, but it means this. But we take some time. What I regularly said to people like that, a person like that, is if you are called to set apart an ordained ministry, you won't be able to shake that. You may think that over time, you know, I'll do something else, but if it's a call from God, you won't be able to shake that. In fact, that's kind of what somebody said to me when I was thinking some of those things on my journey. And I realized, okay, I'm going to try that out. In fact, Kathy and I got married. I had been in ministry, but I decided right before our marriage, I'm going to try something else. Because, you know, if it's a call to ministry, people have said I won't be able to shake that. So I did. I got involved in a sales job and did that for 2 years while I continued to pray about, is this a call to ministry? Help confirm this. At the end of that time, I had a sense that it is a call to ministry. Ordained ministry. I need to make plans to go to school, but it was something that God confirmed over time. It wasn't an immediate thing. So what I love about people who are growing is that they have adolescent boldness as well as sometimes insecurities. They're trying to figure it out. There is significant growth in participation with this group in church activities. 80% of people who are growing have attended worship. They attend worship two or three weekends a month. 47% participate in small groups at least once a month. 50% of you serve in some form of ministry at least once a month. What else do we know? You are on board, you who are growing, with core beliefs. 94% of you express belief, firm belief in the Trinity, and 84% strongly believe in the existence of a personal God that is active in your life. It's not just a head knowledge, it's become a real thing. I'm aware of God doing things. 75% of you are clear in your conviction about salvation being a gift of God's grace. 70% of you affirm the authority of the Bible to speak into your life. So these percentages, they are almost double those who are still exploring. Remember, we're exploring, then we're growing. Almost double the percentages of those who are exploring. Another thing, you're becoming more comfortable in spiritual practices. So despite some hesitation, maybe about the authority of the Scripture, half of you growing in Christ read and reflect on the Scripture several times a week. Half of you do that, the other half of you don't. So a person like Jeff might say, hey, each day I begin with a devotion based on the Scripture. I read the Bible and I discuss it, you know, with friends or in a small group. Another guy says, well, you know, rather than that, I'm kind of on a really, I need to really get started doing that basis. And so that's who we are. Prayer is becoming more of a rhythm for those growing in Christ. 82% of you pray daily or frequently for guidance. Solitude, quiet time with God, that kind of lags a little bit behind. And Bible reading. But it shows some increase as you are growing in Christ and seeking more communication with God. Second, another thing we know, you are hesitant about taking your faith outside beyond the walls of the church. So though you have increased understanding, you're kind of hesitant to act upon what you believe. While you are eager to participate in church programs, you're less likely to express your faith outside the church among non-believers. While you have increased your church activities and you're growing in spiritual practices, you are less inclined, you're even fearful to reach out to others by inviting them to church or serving those in need that might come your way. Nonetheless, you who are growing in Christ are poised for great spiritual advances and impact. You are growing. You are passionate. You're enthusiastic. Your energy is contagious, and we are thrilled to have you as a vital part of our church family. We want to help you to put down strong spiritual roots, a good foundation, help you to grow in grace and be a part of God's fruit-bearing team. So, what can we do to help encourage one another in spiritual growth? Encourage one another, and particularly those of us who are growing in Christ, who've just crossed the line of faith. Here's a few things I think about. First of all, we can challenge you to take next steps. You are counting on the church to provide spiritual coaching, to provide you with direction and insight and opportunities and encouragement along the way. So a guy might say, you know, I have crossed the line of faith. I've made my commitment to Christ. I've been baptized. So now what? You want to be challenged. You want direction. Our job is to offer you tangible next steps. You are eager to grow. You want to be planted in fertile soil so you can bear much fruit. So what are some tangible next steps that you can take? There are three things that I think of that will really provide some spiritual impact right away. First of all, a daily scripture reading plan. Become, as we've said from time to time, a self-feeder, somebody who opens the scripture and reads it for yourself. you know, if you're depending on me to provide all your spiritual nourishment in about 25 minutes once a week, you know, you're going to be undernourished. There's something more. And that's why we're encouraged to read the scripture. There are all kinds of Bible reading plans out there. You can go Google Bible reading plans. There's a whole bunch of them. I like, you can go to Mardell's and get a Through the Bible in a Year book. I used to use one of those for in the past. More recently, I'm using the YouVersion Bible app on my phone, and that has all kinds of reading plans as well. That's what's helping me right now to read through the Bible in a year. It just it tells me what I need to read today, and it helps me to check it off when I've done it. Another tangible step: join a small group. Short term, long term, Sunday morning, Wednesday night, through the week, lots of options. New groups are starting all the time. In fact, we're getting ready to try and roll out a new series of short groups that are going to talk more about this know, love, and serve. How do we get a little bit more traction about that? We might do that on a Sunday morning for a couple of weeks. We might do that on a Wednesday night. So we're gonna put that together and get that out. Another thing that sometimes people ask me about is, hey, I mean, could I start a small group? And I'm always interested to hear what people's ideas are and, you know, see if it does make sense to get one together that they might help start. What else can we do? We can help you become more comfortable sharing your faith. Sharing your faith. A few years ago, I taught a series on sharing your faith. It was titled Just Walk Across the Room. And, you know, it talked about the fact that we all have this comfort zone. And our comfort zone is typically full of people who are kind of like us. And we're comfortable around them. But what that study talked about is there is this zone of the unknown that God often wants us to get out of our comfort zone and get into, because there are often people that he wants us to meet in the zone of the unknown. But we got to get out there, and we got to make connections with people in relationship, in friendship, in conversation. So as a result of that study, one of the things that I tried to develop as a habit, I have tried to see if I can't meet 7 new people every week, maybe 1 new person a day. And just because I have made that as a goal, and I reflect every week and ask how I've done, that has helped me to enter into the zone of the unknown more intentionally than before. It used to be I might just be busy and wouldn't even be thinking about it. Now I'm at the store and I meet somebody, and, you know, I go to the same store a lot of times. So you meet somebody once, chances are you're going to meet them again. Or you go to the gym, same thing. You meet somebody once, chances are in a lot of places we go, you'll have a chance to have an ongoing conversation. So the idea is, if I'm meeting 7 new people a week, and I'm developing relationships that might lead to a conversation that eventually might lead to me sharing a bit of my story or them sharing some of their story, those kind of things are the things that God uses out there in the zone of the unknown to help reach somebody new for Christ. Over time, as relationships are built, as we listen to people's story, as we maybe hear the Holy Spirit prompting us, what happens? We might have the opportunity to share our own story, a part of it. How do we do it? One of the things that I'm always thinking about is this simple outline. This was my life before Christ. Then I came to know Christ. This is my life after Christ. Sometimes I get to share that whole story in the conversations, but usually that's not the way it happens. I meet somebody first, and I'm talking about their life, and we're talking about life, and I'm able to share, you know, some of the things that I relate to about them and my life apart from Christ. And I realized we got some common stories. We ran around, did some of the same things. But then, you know, over time, as I get to know people, I'm always looking for, is there an opportunity ever to say, you know, we've been talking about this struggle that we both had, but you know what? There was a time in my life where something changed. And you know what that was? God was something that I was seeking, and man, it made a difference. I may just have that conversation. I may not get to talk anymore about it, but hey, I've planted a seed. 2 weeks later, talking to the same person, and maybe they ask the question, you know, well, you talked about that, you know, has that really made any kind of a difference? Well, let me tell you about how my life was, but how it's different now because of what God is doing and what God is working. So that's how, you know, this was my life before Christ, then I met Christ, and here's my life now. That simple outline, there's all kinds of ways, if we're open, to be able to share that story. And I'm hoping that, you know, the most powerful faith story that any of us can share is what God has been doing in our life. What else can we do to encourage one another in growing spiritually? Don't let your passion to serve eclipse commitment to personal spiritual disciplines. You who are growing in Christ, you have a passion to serve. You're getting involved. You want to be out there in the harvest field. Yet there is a danger. If you're not careful, you can focus all your energy on serving and forget about taking care of your own spiritual self. Jesus had a talk with his disciples about this very thing. In John 15:5, you might write that reference down. John 15:5, what did Jesus say? He said this. He said, I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you abide in me, he who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Jesus was telling them, guys, you need to stay connected. You need to stay connected in relationship with me, because I am the source of the fruit. If we abide in Christ, if we remind ourselves that we need to stay connected with him, reading his word, praying, having an ongoing conversation of Jesus, that's how the fruit happens. In my experience, the way that works is, this morning, I'm out walking my dog, Daisy. I got my earbuds in. I'm listening to my Bible in a year. And about a quarter of a mile before I'm going to be home is when I usually am done with listening to the study, to the scripture. And I got about a quarter of a mile. And that's when I usually say, God, I've just listened to your word. Now I want to talk with you about that. You know, the scripture this morning was talking about Pharaoh and the plagues in the Old Testament, and in the New Testament it was talking about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And you know, what about those two experiences are applicable in my life right now? And sometimes I'm talking out loud, and you know, Daisy's kind of looking up at me like, you know, what is going on, Daisy? It's me and God time. Come on, Daisy, you just keep walking. It's amazing how in that little bit of time, 10 minutes as I'm walking, God often, you know, meets me there. And so what I know is I got to be abiding. If I'm not abiding, if I get too busy doing ministry and I don't take care of what really is important, I can get tired, or I can burn out, or I can risk, you know, falling away from what God wants. So in our text for today, Paul encourages young Timothy to be an example for others, not to neglect personal spiritual disciplines, scripture reading and prayer. 1 Timothy 4:13 says, devote yourself to the public reading of scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift. Paul knew that if Timothy was going to be an effective leader, he's going to have a vibrant inner life with Christ, and so it is with us. So what else can we do to encourage people who are growing in faith? Don't confuse their high level of service with automatic qualifications for leadership. We can ask someone to be a leader before they're actually ready. Someone who is serving a lot, we say, man, they are passionate about it. They're getting into it. So here, why don't you just lead this thing? If they are not really ready, if they have not had the opportunity to learn from others and to be mentored in leadership, they can become overwhelmed. They can become discouraged. They can wash out, and we never want that. We never want that. So we give people adequate time to grow into spiritual leadership. We start maybe with, hey, just show up. Come and help show up. And people are showing up, and pretty soon it's, hey, you know, help in this way. I'm the leader, but I could help you, have your help, and you could do this. And they're doing that. And then pretty soon, over time, as it takes, it might be, you know, you have really flourished in this. Would you consider taking a part of a leadership piece of this so that we can carry it on? And that's kind of the natural way that leaders are developed in the life of the church. What else can we do to encourage you who are growing in Christ? Encourage your faith and action. You have passion, you have enthusiasm, excitement. Don't lose that. We want to encourage you to grow in both faith and action. When two are growing together, these two things, faith and action, you are poised for God to do mighty things through you and in you. And what an exciting thing that is. I've always appreciated the enthusiasm of persons who are growing in Christ. It is a blessing to me. It blesses the church, blesses the community as well. In fact, we thank God for persons growing in their relationship with Christ. That is exciting. It is energizing. It is wonderful to see and to experience. And all of us, when we see it, say hallelujah. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray together. Let's pray about it. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, gracious Master, loving Lord, we thank you for the energy and the enthusiasm of those growing in Christ. You have lit a fire in our hearts. You have given us new hope and new life. And we can't help but to declare your praise and seek to serve you in new ways. Lord, help us to put down deep spiritual roots, deeper through prayer, reflecting on the scripture, spending time with you. Lead and guide us in the way that we should go. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit and our connection with each other in the body of Christ that provides the support and the encouragement that we need. And help us to take those important next steps as we continue our growth. In Jesus' name we've prayed, and everyone said, amen.